Welcome back to the Precision Rifle Network podcast. This is season two, episode who cares? This is more of a, you'll hear the road noise in the background, guys. I'm driving back from a match, and I apologize for that. I'll try to clean it up in post-processing if I can. Most likely you're going to get some background noise. Really nothing I can do about it if I want to bust out a podcast. So this was an NRL 22 match. It was the September Course of Fire, if anybody's wanted to kind of follow along with that. So we did all of those stages plus three stages that were created by the match director. We had a near zero wind day, and that was unusual. It actually had some people kind of tripped out a little bit because they're like, oh, I feel like I should be holding this or that for wind. And it's like, well, there isn't any wind. So at one point it picked up, and our farthest targets, we were holding a tenth of wind. You know, you're not even off the plate. So, you know, you basically just hold straight up and let the size of the plate soak that up if there are any variations. And there really weren't for most of the day. So, you know, you ever had a match where the wheels, where one wheel came off and you're like, well, maybe I can salvage it. And then the other wheel, another wheel starts to wobble. And you're like, oh man, here we go. Third wheel, fourth wheel, pretty soon, all the wheels are wobbling and or falling off, and you're just screwed and can't get back to any kind of normal. Well, so I had a perfect storm of a match today. I had a worse finish today, I think, than I have had in many moons. And you know, it's humbling, and that's fine, that's good, because it actually teaches you, trains you to think things through and you know, make changes, make sure you're solid, do all these things. So let me tell you what issues I had today that, you know, I can kind of blame this on. And don't shut off the podcast. I am gonna blame some on myself. But honestly, when you've got a 22 rifle that shoots in the point threes with, you know, quality match grade ammunition, I mean, I'm using the Lapua Extreme Long Range. This stuff has an SD of 6 and an extreme spread of like 12, 13, something like that. It's an amazing shooting ammunition. And I've got, you know, chamber barrel job done up by one of the best in the industry, Kenny at Desert Precision Rifle Works. The rifle just hammers. But so here's what I did, and this is what I hope you will learn from this, is that I made all the changes all at once, and I did it one day before the match. So I've had this barreled action for a little while from Kenny, and I did a video on it where all I was doing was going out to the range, putting it on paper, slow fire, just to get the averages on the groups, trying to show how, you know, how tight it would shoot. And it shoots tight. Like, it doesn't matter what you put through it. I think this Lapua Extreme Long Range is going to be a little better than the SK Red Box. I also gained about 50 feet per second with that ammo versus the SK Red Box, so I'm pleased with that as well. But so the rifle will shoot. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the rifle. But here's what I did. I dropped that rifle into an MDT ACC chassis that came off of one of my center fire guns. Had all the weights in it, like all the weights in it, and it was balanced and ready for a center fire gun. I didn't change the weights. I didn't mess with the balance. So I came out to a match today with a gun that was extremely heavy and unwieldy, really, for a 22 match. Just cumbersome. It really frustrating to move the thing around because it's so heavy. So there's a problem that's on me, right? Like, I shouldn't have done all this right before the match. And then I didn't balance the rifle. So I've got all the weights in the chassis, but it's balanced for a center fire, not for the 22. So front of my rifle's dipping down all day long. I'm fighting with that on barricades. So again, that's on me. Another thing, then, this is the main issue that I was running into today, was I was having magazine issues. Now, this is a Voodoo action with Voodoo mags. This particular chassis, I don't have the ability to adjust the like mag catcher or any of that kind of stuff to just kind of help. And the bullets, the Lapua bullets, were actually almost too long in my mags, and the rounds were flattening out in the mag instead of kind of angling up so that when you go to chamber them, they kind of go up into the chamber. These were flattened out, like level. And I was having nose diving issues. I was having issues where the bullets were getting hung up coming out of the mags. Sometimes I could just kind of mess around in there with my finger and get it to work. But most times I was having to completely drop the mag. And then, you know, the followers have the little buttons, or the mags have the little buttons on the side, the spring and the follower, and then you can kind of just kind of flick the follower kind of down and let it snap back up into place. And that would kind of force the rounds back up to where they were supposed to be. And then I could go fine for a few shots, and then I'd have to drop the mag again. It was a nightmare of mag issues today. The rifle itself, when it shot, was shooting very well. There was no wind to speak of, so I didn't have to worry about my wind calls. I felt like the positions that I was building were good positions. Like, the shots that I was able to take, I hit a lot of the shots that I was able to take. I was timing out, leaving all kinds of points on the board, because of timing out. And then I was having those mag issues that were, you know, admittedly getting me frazzled a little bit. Now, if you know me, you know, I'm a pretty calm guy in matches. I don't get spooled up by the time. I don't get spooled up by the pressure. Like, that's just not who I am. I don't care enough to let that happen. But I was getting a little frazzled with all the constant malfunctions and whatnot. And it just really was... a challenge. And so what you guys need to hear about changing things is, don't change them the day before a match. You know, I'd never used the Maven. Another thing, I never used the Maven optic in a match before. This was a first for the Maven optic in a match. It was a first for that ammunition. There were a number of things that I changed last minute and should not have. So don't ever change all the things right before a match. Like, if you want to perform well, if you want to compete well, you need to have all those details ironed out ahead of time. You need to know your rifle. We need to know what it's going to do. You need to be familiar with it. You know, those sorts of things. It was really a comedy of errors on my part. And I don't know, I kind of had an inkling that it would happen. I just didn't think it would be that bad. I thought that there might be some issues with running a new scope and changing ammo right before. But I didn't even... The magazine issues didn't even come up in my mind. It just didn't even register that I'd have issues with that. So, very frustrating. But learn your lesson from me, I guess. Just, you know, get things in order first. Don't try to figure them out at matches. And that's something that I've known, right? Like, this is not news even to me. I've known this. I've consistently told people this wisdom. It's just a frustrating thing. And I knew it going in, and I just was like, whatever. I'm just gonna go out and have fun. Well, sometimes you're having so many issues that it's hard to even have fun when you're shooting. And that is definitely the case today. The match was good. It was actually, for a 22 match, for your typical NRL 22 course of fire, this one was fairly difficult. There was a lot of movement, a lot of different positions, and then a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, close, middle, far, and then move positions, and then middle, far, close, and all that kind of stuff, just going back and forth. And, you know, a lot of mag changes. We had, you know, several where it was 12 or 13 rounds. We had a 20 round stage, you know, five different positions, four shots from each position on four different targets, and movement to boot, you know, still two minute time limits. There was a lot of mental work that needed to be done in this match. Memorization, really, of the course of fire, unless you were going to write it all down on an arm board or something. And man, my brain was not up to the task today. I dropped some points from engaging targets out of order. You know, just oof. It was one of those days. But that being said, the barreled action from Kenny from Desert Precision Gunworks, it hammers. No question about it. Like, that thing was subbing away all the way out to 125 yards in my testing. And for a 22 in any kind of wind and whatnot, I just feel like, gosh, man, that's pretty great. Now, 22s, barreled act, the stuff now, rimfires now, have come a long way in the last number of years. And, you know, it's not like back in the day when 100 yards with a 22 long rifle was like, well, what do you shoot that far for with a 22? 22's not made for that. You shoot a 22 at 50 yards max. You know, you zero at 25 and you shoot them out to 50 maybe. You know, it's like a BB gun. Well, they're way different now. You know, I still don't think that 200-yard shots should be found in an NRL 22 match, but that's just me. I often have the dissenting opinion. I often find that I am the one that's different, and you know, I've just learned to deal with that. There were some stages today where I was like, ah, man, this is stupid. I don't like this. You know, but it's fine. It's part of it, and you throw it in because there's got to be a mixture of challenging stages and easy stages. And I feel like today was reversed. I feel like 80% of the stages were pretty challenging, and there were probably only two that were what I would consider just a normal stage with normal targets and normal distances and no mental gymnastics that you got to play. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of normal today. If it had been strong winds today, we'd have seen some really low scores. But as it was, I think the guy that won the match today, he only dropped one shot all day long. And there were a couple of guys that only dropped, three shots or something like that, four shots. There were a bunch of guys bunched up that only dropped five, six, seven shots all day long. That's pretty good. I finished not well, let's just say that. And again, very humbling and telling of the fact that I was a bonehead and didn't take my own advice, changed all these things and whatnot. Just kind of sucked. So, couple things I'm going to change before next time around. I am going to switch that barreled action into a different chassis and a lighter weight one, and I'm going to get it balanced correctly. I need to cut a solid 10 pounds off of that rifle easily, and I can do that, you know, with just the weights and stuff. I'm not going to use the ACC chassis. I'm actually going to go with a stock, probably from Graybow. And it's a good point to make right now that if you want 10% off at Graybow, you can use code PRN10 to get 10% off of any full-price item at Graybow. They also commonly have some really good deals over there, as much as 50% off on some of their stocks. And if you navigate there through the link below any of the videos on YouTube, you help out the channel a little bit, and you get that, you get the discounts and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I'll be switching it to a Graybow stock, and we'll have a much lighter weight rifle, and we'll get it balanced correctly. And I'm also going to change the glass. The Maven Optic, there's nothing necessarily wrong with it. And this is the Gen 1, by the way, the Gen 1 5 to 30 or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with it, per se. There's just preferences. Like, the glass was fine. But that being said, the glass, for me, was not good enough that I felt like I could watch my 22 bullet all the way down to the target. Whereas a Leupold Mark V or a Zero Compromise Optics or a, you know, any of that kind of stuff, I feel like is high enough contrast, quality enough glass, good enough coatings that I can literally watch the bullet all the way down to the target and see what's going on. I don't feel like I can do that on the Maven. The next thing is that with a 22, you're adjusting parallax a lot. And because everything's at closer distances, and that's where parallax matters most, and all these things, well, the parallax knob on the Maven is super tight, and it's difficult to move. I found myself kind of breaking my cheek weld and coming off the gun, trying to struggle with that. And then another thing about it is that maybe it's just my old eyes, but I've heard the same complaint from other guys, is that the reticle is so thin in the Maven, because when you zoom all the way into 30, you don't want the reticle so thick that it's hard to use or hard to spot in. So there has to be this happy medium. But the reticle on that thing was so thin that at, like, at the standard, say, 12 to 15 to 18 power, with my eyes, it was almost unusable today. I couldn't see the floating center dot, which I like to be able to see and use. The lines were very thin, so I found myself on some stages where I wanted to do holdovers, but couldn't because I couldn't see the holdover lines. I had to mag in far enough to do that, that then I had field of view issues, not being able to find the target. So I found myself zooming in, zooming out a lot, more than I wanted to. So the Maven is not the right choice for me for the 22 long rifle matches. I'm gonna put something else on it, and we'll run it that way. Oh, another thing that I have not used all that much, and some guys that have played this game all the time will be like, what? How's this possible? I have not used the MDT SkyPod all that much. I have the double pull, and this was really only the second time that I've ever used this bipod. And so, of course, I'm still learning all the buttons and trying to figure out what it'll do and it won't do. And so, yeah, I mean, again, I'm leaving time on the clock every time I have to adjust or mess with something, as opposed to knowing it intuitively and just being able to reach up and adjust things quickly and intuitively. Just not efficient. There's the efficiency is not there because I had too many variables that I didn't know well. So less efficient, takes longer, time out, lose points because of it. Just not good. It's still okay to go out and shoot, right? And I do like learning. And so my positivity for this time was there. I wasn't getting negative and I wasn't like complaining or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, in my own head, I'm like, ugh, let's turn this around, Joel. Come on, man. Let's be positive. Like, you know how to call the wind. You know that the dope is good. You know how to build positions. You know how to do all this. And so I'd be positive and I'd get on the clock and first couple shots, ding, good hit, you know. Next shot, ding, good hit. Third was like, oh crap, magazine issues. Here we go. You know, take him 10, 15 seconds to fart around with a magazine. So it just wears on you after a day of forcing your brain into a positive mental place so that you can stay calm and perform well. And then, you know, having Murphy come in and just slap you across the face and ruin that, you know. So it's just like this roller coaster back and forth all day. And I don't enjoy that as much as going out and having fun. And, you know, I would much rather have the equipment all perform perfectly and have me, like my wind calls, or, you know, I didn't build a position well, or, well, I didn't figure out that order well, or memorize this or that like I was supposed to. Like, I'd rather have those problems that I can clearly point to myself. And, you know, there was some of that today, but not so much. It was mostly all these changes and new things, which, again, my fault. But anyway, there's that. And what else we got going on? So my next, so that's, yeah, so like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'll be out in New Mexico for the team safari. I am the gas gunner, which is a first for me. So I've got like a year of, I've got a year of firsts here. Didn't get to shoot nearly as many matches this year as I had initially planned. I'd hoped for something like 6 to 8 matches. I think I'm getting like 4 matches in this year, something like that. Just really not, you know, really not what I wanted. But it's fine. Sometimes it be like that, I guess, you know. I got a large family and kids doing all kinds of different things and active with church and just all the things that end up, you know, getting in the way. Priorities that are priorities because they're more important than shooting for fun. So, and of course I made, you know, my hobby my job. And so sometimes building the business of Precision Rifle Network has to take priority over getting to just have fun shooting. But nevertheless, I do also have, so again, from Kenny at Desert Precision Gunworks, he sent me a Aero Solace barreled action. So far, my particular Aero Solace looks, feels, functions very well. I've been hearing a lot of quality control issues and with the Aero Solace, and you know, that's too bad, because I really was under the impression that they were going to have an excellent product, but my understanding is that Aero Precision understands that building a quality bolt action is a little bit different and maybe a little bit more difficult than you know, AR type gas guns. And so I think there's just some, you know, just a little bit of struggling to get it right. I think they did a lot of things really well, and I'm not going to give you any like specifications or details on that, because I simply haven't had time to look at it. But just know that that video is coming. The Aero Solace video is coming, and that barrel that Kenny did up for me is chambered in 6GT. So I will probably do some Hornady factory 6GT ammo. And I will probably try to do the same bullet, basically, or maybe a burger bullet. Anyway, the same grain weight, and do some hand loads, and we'll see the difference. And, you know, just looking forward to playing with that a little bit. And we'll go from there on that. I just, you know, try to determine for myself whether there's any real issues with the Aero Solace, or if, you know, the problem is like the people that I know, there's a growing list of people that I know that are like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to spend my money on that. I've heard a lot of bad stories, you know, and it's really unfortunate that those kind of voices are the ones that get hurt sometimes, because, you know, that they're making thousands of these things, and probably there's thousands of them that are absolutely perfect and nothing wrong with them, and they work well and they shoot well and no issues, but then you've got a handful, maybe even a large handful, that are not as great. But, you know, as a community, should we tank the whole brand because of that? I'm not sure, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like I just hate the cancel culture, you know? It's like, ugh, I get tired of it. But So far, the particular AeroSolus that I have is good to go. And, you know, I know a couple other guys that have them, and they've been good to go. So, yeah, not sure what to make of that. Just want to throw it out there for you guys. And, you know, I'm still playing with the Seekins 6 Arc, the Seekins DMR, and it's a complete build from Seekins. And this is going to be my gun for the Team Safari out in the desert. And I don't have time to hand load all the hand loads for that match. I'm going to use factory ammo. I have a bunch of factory Hornady, 108 grain, I believe, 6 arc. And, you know, I get about 2,700 feet per second, 2,750 if I put a suppressor on, but I'm not going to. I'm probably going to run a brake, and I'm probably going to run the EC tuner brake so that I can try to tune that factory ammo to shoot a little tighter for me. Right now, it's been sitting at about a 1 MOA gun, which, you know, if I drive it well, that's decent enough. Like, 1 MOA ammunition should be good enough to get the job done. But, you know, I'm gonna give myself a margin of error if I can. So if I can use an EC tuner brake and get that factory ammo shooting a half inch instead, well, then that's going to help me down the road on the wind or far targets or whatever it is. But I need to get that ironed out, and I need to get that thing doped all the way out to, you know, 800 to 1,000 yards and make sure I'm solid. So that preparation is probably a video that's coming, and I'll talk about ammo. I'll talk about the other gear that I'm taking, and because it's completely different than PRS type gear. You're really looking for lightweight, minimal, what you can grab quick and you know, not have to weigh yourself down, because you're hiking, you know, up to 3 miles each day, carrying all your equipment. So you're not running a heavy rifle. You're not taking a heavy game changer and all those kinds of things. And so looking forward to that. Well, that's coming up. Just got a lot of things, guys, and, you know, I'm sorry I don't get on here nearly as much as I would like, but the podcast is, it's just down on the list, kind of like the live streams. You know, I'm supposed to be doing a live stream every week, and, you know, we've been doing it every other, roughly. This week, it's the third week this week. I might do one tonight just to catch up with people, the night that I am recording this anyway. But we'll go from there, guys. Thanks for listening. I know this one's a little bit shorter, right? I tend to try to, you know, do the 30-minute kind of commute recordings instead of the super long podcasts that are drawn out. And I do appreciate you guys tuning in and listening, and please share the podcast with other people. And again, please check out the affiliate link. And it's a single link now below all the YouTube videos that takes you to my webpage, which then has all the links and all the discount codes for all the gear. We've had to make that change. YouTube doesn't like us linking to these gun businesses, and so they've been slapping us a little bit. So there's that. Look forward to the next podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Check you later.